Blog Talk Radio.
About time, fellas.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
It never gets old, never. Gentlemen. That is what we do. That's what we do. Love the intro. Shout out to JQ as always. Of course, welcome to Talking Sports for the 12th man. Good times. I'm glad that JQ's feeling better. Rob's all that fun stuff. Today is, of course, February the 9th. You're officially Talking Sports for the 12th man. I'm Andre Peterson. And I'm happy that one of my co-hosts was not spending too much time at Mardi Gras. He actually showed up on the show. So big kudos to Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, Rob? You feeling all right, sir?
Doing great. Happy Mardi Gras world, especially New Orleans, Brazil, and Trinidad.
That's what it's all about. T-Rob is showing up. And without further ado, I also got to kick it out to my next fellow co-host, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I feel a little better, like you said. And on top of that, shout out to, I think, the original Mardi Gras, right? Got my folks down there in Mobile. Celebrating and sending me pictures as well. So everybody recuperating.
Whoa, be careful sending pictures, man.
No, not like that.
I'm just messing. Oh, man, that's all good. Gentlemen, let's get this party started. As always, we want to welcome everyone to listen to Talking Sports and 12th Man. If you want to, reach out to us, call us, tweet us, find us on Facebook. There's a couple ways how you can do that. First and foremost, we're going to call the show. That number is always the 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter. If you go to the number, if you type in at 12thmansports, T-H-M-A-N sports, you will find us in that venue. And then finally, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12thman, or if you put in 12thmansports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about. Super Bowl was just the past week. So let's kick it off. Eventually, Rob, I do want to add a little section if you can kind of make some time for Andre's trivia. I got some sports trivia I always want to ask you guys. I think it's kind of a fun little twist on the show, too, so maybe we can add that as well. But first and foremost, let's kick it off, gentlemen, with Cam Newton. He's always been a lightning rod, and I know we had some interesting predictions. And Denver, you talk about kind of a shock, if you will, but yeah. A great game. And Cam Newton kind of walked off, and I guess, Rob, let's kind of kick it off with you. What are your thoughts about that? Was that a situation where he didn't act professional, or was he just upset? Was he a sore loser? What are your thoughts about that walk-off and Mr. Cam Newton, the lightning rod, if you will?
Well, I think it's all of the above. Obviously, I think he was very gracious and a good sport in congratulating Peyton Manning after the game. I think he did show class there. But obviously, you know, Cam is 26 years old. He still has some maturing to do. I think Deion Sanders personally went too hard on him. You know, I think, you know, JQ and both of you guys remember when Deion Sanders threw buckets of water on Tim McCarver back in the day and when his baseball days with the Atlanta Braves. So I think Deion Sanders forgot that he was once young and did some dumb stuff, you know. And that's what it, I think, you know, all comes down to. I think this is something that Cam can learn from. Obviously, he has some maturing to do. I mean, I don't condone his behavior. But at the same time, you got to realize, you know, nobody likes to lose. If you're a competitor of that nature, you don't like to lose. And sometimes you don't want to deal with the dumb stuff, but you have to somehow man up in these type of situations and deal with it and take your loss like a man. And I'm sure Cam, and hopefully, he will learn from this, but obviously I don't condone his behavior in the press conference and walking away. But, you know, I really took offense to the way Deion Sanders just publicly bashed him. And I was like, man, you must have forgot what you did to Tim McCarver.
But, you know,
you went back twice and got Tim McCarver with two buckets of ice and water.
Yep.
And I was a little upset with the way Deion Sanders went off on him personally.
JQ, what are your thoughts, sir?
Well, here's the thing about Cam. We've got to realize, and I understand, you know, he's still young, but 26, you know, he's not 19 or 20, so I don't necessarily want to say that he's super young. But when you are, you know, dancing in the end zone, and it's a great thing he does, giving the ball to the kids, no doubt. But when you put yourself up on that pedestal, and that, let's remember, in that game against Atlanta when they destroyed him, he's running up and down the field, you know, doing the Hulk Hogan. They're taking a team picture, dabbing while the game is still going on. When you put yourself up there like that, your people are going to take shots at you. And for the people that wanted to have a problem with him, he gave them all the ammunition that they needed by acting that way at the press conference. I understand that you're upset. And it's the same way I felt about Marshawn Lynch. You signed this contract to make these millions. It says in there that you have such times you have to give to the media. Just man up, like Rob said, be a professional about it, and flip the script on them. You know, you got, I think it was Chris Harris Jr. talking stuff about him. Like, yeah, I'm going to still sit here and answer your questions. Over, he's dogging me over here because, you know, I'm a pro. I'm going to answer your questions. I didn't play the game I wanted to play. And you answer the questions and you move on, and we don't have this. I think it's been blown out of proportion because, if you remember, I believe when Peyton lost to your Saints, he didn't congratulate Drew Brees. He walked straight off the field. And they
sure
didn't say anything about it. So
nobody,
you know, there's both sides of it. Exactly. There's both sides of it.
Yeah.
But for me, to Cam personally, is don't give them the ammunition to, you know, to fire at you. You know, you got to take the good with the bad and sit there and man up. And like you said, I think this is a learning experience that hopefully he'll learn from. But then today he came out and said, you know, why is your way the right way to do it as opposed to my way? And if you show me a gracious loser, I just show you a loser. And I know that's an old Lombardi quote, but it's almost to the point where I still don't think he fully gets it yet. And it may just take a little time. It's still probably too raw for him to fully get it, but hopefully he'll get use it as a learning experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, if you're gonna do all that dancing and celebrating, you know, when you're winning, you have to be very gracious in defeat as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I got to say, guys, I agree with both of your points because it's tough because just to let you guys know, obviously, whenever there was somebody posted kind of the commentating whenever Cam first came into the league and they just lit into him, you know, they were talking about how he was not that intelligent, how he's never going to be a leader. Somebody called him like a freaking a narcissistic something. And I was just like, that was really personal. So I was kind of hoping that Cam would win because I just wanted him to kind of shove it in those guys' face because they were just like, I think it was over. And, you know, granted, you know, we know that he's African-American quarterback, so we have a little bit more what's behind it. So I was kind of hoping that he would kind of rise above that. But like you said, Rob, like you said, JQ, it's a maturing thing. You know, he had to lose, and he's going to learn, like you said, you can't be dabbing and stuff like that. I know you want to have fun with the game, but there's a time whenever, okay, going into next year, maybe you need to take more of a professional business-like approach to the game. You're like, all right, let's not dab on the sidelines because we still have business to take care of. It's good to have some fun and all that and good stuff, but you have to know how to contain it, how to channel that. And then, like you said, Rob, at the end of the press conference, go in there and be like, hey, what, you know what, I lost this. You know, I give all respect to the Denver Broncos. They played a good game. We'll be back. And use that fuel to fuel you for the next thing, you know. So that's, you know, like you said, he's still young. He's still maturing. He's not quite a young guy just yet. But you know all those guys are still after him. You know he's given ammunition. So here was opportunity for him to step up and, you know, be like, all right, guys, I messed up. But, you know, like you said, maybe he'll learn next year. We'll see how that plays out. I know we're going to talk about some predictions for next year's Super Bowl and who's going to veer that. But, you know, that's just kind of my thoughts about the whole scenario, too. But I was kind of pulling for Candace for that purpose, guys. But it was a great story. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Somebody was going to say something. Go ahead.
You know, you made some good points there about what some analysts had against him coming out of college. You know, can he be a leader? You know, is he smart enough? I think he has proven that he can be a leader by getting his team this far, you know, getting them to the Super Bowl. And also, intelligence-wise, you see how he has improved his game over the years from an intelligence standpoint, being able to read defenses and getting better in that department. Now the next step for Cam Newton is going to be maturity factor. He's got to mature to another level. And so I think he's proven to be a leader. I think he's proven to be smart. Now the next thing is he's got to get smarter by handling his, loss or defeat graciously.
Yeah, can I just add one thing before we get off of this? It was amazing even outside of, the media and everybody else, but his peers. Because leading up to the Super Bowl, you know, Denver was really respectful. You know, we never seen a guy like him. We're going to have to take him really seriously. And then as soon as the game was over and you hear these post-game comments, I mean, they went in on Cam Newton, you know, calling how selfish he was. He's only playing for himself. We wanted to shut him up, yada, yada, yada. So I think he's also got to take a step back and look at, hey, maybe my peers don't respect me as much as they say they do, and they were just waiting on the opportunity to knock me off the pedestal, because I was really shocked at the vitriol that, you know, the Denver players went after him right away on when that game was over.
Yeah, Denver did a good job by keeping a lot of that in-house, too.
Yeah,
obviously didn't want to give the other team any bulletin board material, you know, things of that nature. So I think Denver did a really good job keeping a lot of those kind of things, that those motivating kind of things in-house, and didn't give the Carolina Panthers any bulletin board material as well.
Yeah, but the fact that they felt that way, right, and they all came out throughout the season saying it's okay for him to dance, why are y'all talking about him like this, yada, yada, yada. But then when the game was over, I mean, they just went in on him so hard that I feel like I don't think his peers have been acted the way they say they did, but they kind of just told that company line throughout the season until it was over so they could just really let loose.
Exactly. And like I said, I think they did a good job keeping the way they felt in-house and not letting it out to the media to provide any bulletin board material for the Panthers. So I think that was good on their part by saying, hey, if we're going to say this, let's keep it in-house. Let's keep it behind closed doors. Do not say this to the media.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic job by Denver, because no one knew anything about that. Like you said, it was like they just kind of like let it all out because they were kind of prepared. But I will say this too, gentlemen. I kind of, whenever they were talking about kind of the pregame stuff, and this is kind of how I got a little nervous, because whenever talking about Denver, because they said that Peyton arrived hours before the game, whatever, like he always does, but he spent like all this time like going through every one of the route trees. He was throwing all the routes to all the receivers. And they said he didn't miss a pass. And we'll talk about some greatest MVPs, but it kind of showed you how focused he was. And even though he didn't play a perfect game, he did just enough. Denver did just enough to kind of, you know, allow them to win. So, you know, obviously the Denver defense was just fantastic, but it was kind of the perfect storm, if you will. So that's whenever I was like, you know, I'm picking Carolina. I'm like, this is going to be a whole other level, you know, obviously. So, yeah, anyway. That's my two cents on that.
Well, I personally think Peyton Manning had a horrible game. That's just my personal opinion. And you can see physically he's just not there. I think, you know, we basically all agreed on last week when we were doing our predictions. Even though we picked Carolina, if Denver was going to win this game, they was going to win it with defense. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Their defense was phenomenal. I think we thought that Carolina's max protection was going to be able to help them around the edge. Obviously, we was wrong with Von Miller and DeMarcus, especially Von Miller, man. He was unblockable in that game.
Yeah.
It seemed like he lived in the backfield. He had a residence in the Carolina Panthers backfield in that game. I mean, a phenomenal performance. You got to give Wade Phillips a lot of credit, too. It seems as though whenever Wade goes to a new organization, his first year as defensive coordinator is always a great year defensively. And I'm not saying they're not going to be this good next year, but this year, I mean, they were phenomenal the way he utilized. And even his interior linemen played well in that game as well. But Ware and Von Miller, and even the secondary was phenomenal in the game, the entire defense. You got to give Wade Phillips a ton of credit.
Yeah.
Awesome job. We spent so much time on that, gentlemen. Let's kind of move on here. We could keep talking. We got about literally 60 minutes here, so let's keep us moving here. I think that Robert has a crush on the next quarterback here. It seems like Johnny Manziel
like has
been in the past couple weeks. You know, I didn't say anything. You brought it up, man. But for some reason, it's on the topics like the past like 4 or 5 weeks. It feels like, the latest on Johnny Manziel. I'm gonna let JQ kind of kick off this one. what are your thoughts about what's happening with Mr. Manziel over there, sir?
See, and I think my biggest issue, and I've been saying this the whole time, is that he needs to get his life together. And when his dad comes out and says, you know, he's rejected going to rehab twice, and I don't think he'll live to see his 24th birthday if he doesn't get it together. If your dad comes out and says that, then you know
that's
you're pretty much at rock bottom. Yeah, his dad said that. But on a bigger plane of it is that I don't understand why we're still talking about, oh, is Dallas going to sign him, or Houston's going to sign him. And you sit here with, you know, Ray Rice can't get back in the league. He's come out and he does his, did his part. Don't get me wrong, he messed up, but he can't get back. And nobody's talking about giving Ray Rice another chance. And, you know, these other pieces, I don't understand why we are so quick to just dismiss. Like, he ruptured this chick's eardrum. I mean, why are we even talking about him in a football sense at this point? This is the disconnect that I have with the whole Johnny Manziel story. Who cares about the Cowboys or anybody else? You know, he needs to get his life together. Let's just put this on the back burner, you know, because I don't know if we would do this for anybody else.
Yeah, I don't think that he's talking about getting signed right now, but I'll let Rob kind of kick it off too. Rob, what's your thoughts about this and kind of echoing what JQ said?
Well, you know, the crazy thing, ever since his last incident with his girlfriend, the Cleveland Browns have not been able to reach him. And they've tried, and obviously this guy does not want to be a part of the NFL franchise with, based on his behavior, not even responding to the organization's phone calls. I can't see him being on any NFL team once the Browns is able to release them. And now his attorney is coming out saying that the Browns are lying regarding his concussion protocol and things of that nature. So it's a big mess right now. I just cannot see him being on the NFL franchise. You know, it's one thing to have a ton of ability and, you know, organizations, you know, sticking with you and trying to get you to get through the situation. But he don't have the ability on the field, and he's acting crazy off the field as well. I mean, he's not going to last in the National Football League with both of those things going against him.
Wow, you know, I'll kind of say this a little differently, Rob. You know, there's something about, and I'm not saying that he was, you know, if you think about it, guys, he literally would be a senior this year at Texas A&M. So he definitely, you talk about maturing, this guy definitely is not maturing at all. But I will say, I do think he is talented. The problem is, I don't think he has that want. Like, if you were born with, you know, maybe, you know, his family's got money, so he didn't have the desire to, he didn't come from anything and be like, I really want to, like, be successful. So that could be, everyone is kind of born differently. You know, sometimes it takes rock bottom, taking everything away. It happened to Brett Favre. I mean, Brett Favre was unfortunately drafted by the Falcons, and he was out drinking, and then they send him out to freaking, you know, Green Bay, becomes a Hall of Famer. You know, he didn't have anything left. So, you know, I'm not saying he's not ever going to, you know, but sometimes it does take kind of hitting rock bottom. We've heard stories from the Chris Carvers of the world that they get cut and it kind of like has that wake up in life too. So you got to hope that does happen with Johnny Manziel. You hope that he gets his life together first and then maybe football kind of second. But I do think he's got some talent, but unfortunately he's just kind of misguided right now.
Well, you get sent to Green Bay, you got no choice but to get your life together.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like a desert, you know, send him to freaking, you know, I don't know where to send him to, but, you know.
Nothing to do with Green Bay.
You thought Cleveland was bad, right? There's nothing in Cleveland, right? I mean, nothing against Cleveland, all I'm saying. I mean, what's in Cleveland?
Hey,
but,
anyway,
you know, I could
watch
be.
Watch out.
I'm just saying, I mean, not like that, but, you know, it's just one of those situations where, I don't know, you know, I can't comment because I've never been there, but I'm just saying, it's, you want to
Ohio
like
players
a,
stepping
it's
up
like
right
desert.
Now.
But not like it's like a desert wasteland. I mean, JQ, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you got to, I don't know where you send them to, like, you know, but I'm trying to, like, as I backtrack really fast, let's keep it moving, guys. Let's talk about the best Super Bowl most valuable player performance of all time. I'm kind of curious, gentlemen, because I wonder if we're all going to think of the same thing or if we have different ones. I will kick it off with you, Rob. I guess, who do you have as far as your best Super Bowl MVP performance of all time?
I think when I went back and reviewed this, I had to go with Terrell Davis, Super Bowl 32, Denver Broncos over Green Bay 31-24. 30 carries in that game, 157 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. Got John Elway to the throne there and really carried that team, getting that Super Bowl. I thought it was a phenomenal performance. He was a horse in that football game. I mean, you can go a lot of other directions. Steve Young in 95 against the Chargers was also a phenomenal game. You can go back to Terry Bradshaw back in the 70s having a couple of phenomenal Super Bowls. With Terry Bradshaw. You can throw a few of Montana's. You can even also throw in Tom Brady the year they beat Carolina in the Super Bowl, 32-29. He was phenomenal in that game. But I think number one, I went with Terrell Davis in his performance in Super Bowl 32 with Denver beating Green Bay.
What about you, JQ?
Those are all good. I didn't really have one. I'm going to throw one under the radar. I believe it's Timmy Smith, the running back for the Redskins. With Doug Williams and the Smurfs, he rushed for 200 and I want to say like 11 yards and was the MVP in that game. And they scored five second quarter touchdowns. And then people just totally forget about him. And when they destroyed the Broncos in that Super Bowl. But like I said, I don't think you can go wrong with any of the ones that Rob said. There are so many good ones. You know, we kind of get caught up in the last being the greatest, and then we kind of forget about the ones that happened in the past. So I think you could go with any one of those.
I tell you, another sleeper, too, Larry Brown, cornerback for the Cowboys, running two INTs back for touchdowns in the Super Bowl as well against the Buffalo Bills. I think you can even put him up there as well.
I got a couple guys. You know, did you mention Joe Montana too, Rob, at all? Joe Montana's kind of like a historic one. I'm going to go off the radar here. I'm going to go with Doug Williams too. Doug Williams.
Yeah.
During that Redskins 42-10 victory over the aforementioned Broncos, I think he completed like 200 something yards and like four touchdowns in the second quarter, something crazy like that.
Yeah, five touchdowns.
That was just
in the second.
But he had something crazy like that. Yeah, you talk about just an amazing performance. Doug Williams is up there. Got to get some love for him. I'm not going to go the route to somebody else here. That was terrible in Atlanta here. You had a lot of good, Hines Ward. I remember Hines Ward having a coming out party. Huge fan of Desmond Howard. I mean, there's a couple of moments that you remember from Super Bowls too, man. So that's just kind of something that I'll hold on to. But, you know, like I said, Steve Young's the world. Emmitt Smith did his little thing too, if you're a big Dallas Cowboy fan. But, you know, just a couple of players and a couple moments too that you just remember as far as those MVP honors for Super Bowl too. So, gentlemen, we're still making some tracks here. We got about 8 minutes left in the show. Quickly, let's talk about did you get the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, everyone got that. Okay, let's talk about Tlaib here, how he had his little brutal face mask penalty. And for me, guys, it kind of felt like he was kind of going above. And I think he was trying to punk the Carolina Panthers, kind of like say, you know, I'm bigger. Because he had a lot of face mask and penalties. And am I correct in thinking that, Rob? Was he kind of a little over the thing or what? Was that just kind of like am I kind of imagining that?
Well, I think it was one of those kind of things where he says, hey, either I'm going to take this penalty or this guy's probably going to score a touchdown. And so, well, Carolina still wound up scoring a touchdown on the drive anyway. I think that's probably what his thought process was. And definitely he went overboard on grabbing the face mask. And the thing the league is concerned about, he's come out and said after the fact that, yes, I intentionally did it. And I think that's what the league is kind of upset with, you know, and that's where I think the possible suspension is going to be coming in at. And with him saying, I intentionally grabbed his face mask. And, you know, I heard something, Malcolm Jenkins, I was listening to an interview with him here recently, and he was comments in regards to the Pro Bowl. He says, well, you know, we're not in the Pro Bowl, we're not really, you know, trying to hurt anybody. He says, but when we're playing between the lines 16 games a season, we're trying to hurt people. And and so, I mean, I think the league, when his dad interviewed there, opened a lot of eyes around the league, which everyone knows that's been going around the league for a long time, going back to the 50s and 60s, nothing new. But, you know, Roger Goodell's trying to make a big deal about some of this stuff now.
What are your thoughts about that, JQ?
And I'm going to take it one step further. When I watched it, I think he was definitely trying to make a statement because, you remember, he got a taunting foul with Billy Brown on the sideline earlier in the game. He was trying to hurt him and send him a message to him, and I thought he could have got thrown out of the game for that. Not only did he take him down by the face mask, he tossed him. Now, if you're talking about we trying to make this safer for the NFL players, you have somebody come out and say, I was sending him a message. It was only going to cost me a yard. You grab his face mask, yank it to the side, and then throw him to the sideline. He could have really hurt Billy Brown in that situation.
Really could.
And in fact, the second piece of that is he's a repeat offender. He also poked Dwayne Allen in the eye earlier this year. And if you look back in the years before then, he's constantly getting fined and flagged for these penalties. So if you're going to tell me, okay, and I know you're going to call me homer, but to me the parallels are the same. If you're going to tell me Devontae Perfect is a repeat offender and now he's suspended for 3 games after not ever being suspended for any of these things, and you've already suspended Tlaib for 1 game this year, and he comes out and tells you that he did this on purpose and send a message, how do you only say I'm going to suspend him for the opener? I think it's got to be at least three games. I don't know how you give Vontae three, and he hasn't been suspended before this, but Tlaib has been suspended at least once for, you know, doing stuff that you're not supposed to do, and then he does it again in the Super Bowl, and then you only give him another game. I don't know how you rationalize those two.
You don't.
Good
you're
point.
Right. Yeah, that guy right there. Yeah, he's becoming like the Rasheed Wallace of the NFL, man. So just holding the conversation with that, man. But let's talk about terrible. Terrible. And players like that, if you're intentionally trying to hurt somebody, you should be definitely. And it's sad because he's a talented player, too. He don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, literally just, you know, play your game. I know you want to, you know, add the pseudo being, I'm going to be tough and whatever. But, you know, you don't have to do that, man. So that's just. Now you're going to hurt your team. So that's kind of selfish. And that's, spend them, find them, do whatever it takes to protect the shield, as they say. Let's talk about it. The MVP, Von Miller. I'm not sure. I got to find this quote, Rob, or I got to look up this more details because he thinks that Peyton Manning, he doesn't think Peyton Manning will retire, excuse me. I don't know where he got that from unless he's, you know, hanging out in Denver too much. What I mean?
Smoke weed every day.
I think that Peyton Manning will retire. That's what you want. Go out there. As Rob said, he didn't play a great game. You got what you wanted right off in the sunset. What are your thoughts about that, Rob?
Well, I think what Von Miller was trying to say that he thinks Peyton Manning still has something left in the tank. I don't see it, personally. I mean, based on the way I've been watching Peyton Manning play here these last few weeks, you can just tell physically he's not moving very well. He's not getting zip on his football. I think he should just ride it out and retire right now. This is a good way to go out, a Super Bowl champion. You can tell the physical twos. You know, unless he just somehow thinks he's just not 100%, he just still have some healing to do. But based on what I'm seeing, you know, it looked like it's done. And this is right around the time he's about to turn 40, and you saw the same deterioration in Brett Favre when he hit 40 as well. So I think it's about that time for him to go ahead and hang it up and you know, sit back and relax a little bit. And Von Miller, I think, has been, a little emotional about it. But I think it's time for Peyton Manning to move on, as well as the Denver Broncos to move on as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, that 20 seconds. Go ahead, JQ, for the OT. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and the bigger thing about that is you got to reach out Von Miller franchising, which is going to take a lot of money. You got to sign Malik Jackson, which is going to take a lot of money. You want to keep T.J. Ward and a couple of the members of the secondary, which is going to take the money. You got to convince Brock Osweiler to re-sign and say, okay, you're going to be a backup for at least another year, and you got to get Peyton Manning to take a huge pay cut to stay with the Broncos. I don't think you're going to do all that. And John Elway has already said that, you know, I think he's done here. We'll talk about it. He was trying to, you know, put a nice face on it, but I think Peyton is done. And why would he want to go somewhere else after winning in Denver and try to learn a whole new system at 40? I just don't think so. I think he's done.
Go ahead, Rob, with the OT portion, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in to this evening's show. We'll be back with you again on next Tuesday night live, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our friends in Hollywood on the West Coast. Once again, we'll be with you on next Tuesday night. We still have some more sports to talk. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, so click on the same link on tomorrow. And we're still talking some NFL, squeezing a little NBA, and maybe some college hoops as well. So definitely stay tuned and click on the same link for our OT portion on the night, people. Once again, thanks for tuning in. Happy Mardi Gras. Good night, people.
Oh, stay classy as always, San Diego. Make sure you get that stadium. I'm going to keep saying it. Don't let the Chargers leave.
JQ is on a personal campaign to make sure that the Chargers don't leave. We love it.
Go Chargers.
Rob,
San Diego,
Rob,
y'all have an advocate. We're talking sports with a 12th man.
Absolutely.
JQ is putting in work. That is, he's trying to get some election time over there. I don't know what the deal is. But, yeah, gentlemen, America, thank you for listening as always. That's what we like to do. All right, let's get ready to kick into as we get ready to slowly make our way into the OT portion since Rob got that in really quickly. Let's talk about Super Bowl 50. Was it boring? And I know we've sat on a couple of Super Bowls that have been blowouts and You know, you're just watching just because if you're just a fan of the team, then you're just like watching it, or maybe you're watching stats. But JQ, was Super Bowl 50 boring to you? Was it exciting? Or tell me a little bit about your thoughts about the game.
You know, the word I use for it is that it felt disjointed because of the turnovers, and it was, you know, two great defenses really going at it. And the Carolina defense is not getting enough credit. I mean, the two touchdowns that Denver scored, one was a defensive touchdown right off the bat, and the other one was basically on the doorstep. So, you know, outside of that, they just gave up a couple field goals. But it just depends on what you like. You know, offense sells tickets and people get excited about it, but defense wins championships, and that's what it shows. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think it was boring. I think it was a little bit of a letdown because we had so much hope for what we thought Carolina was going to do, and we thought we were going to get maybe a better game. But I don't necessarily say it was boring because I love football. And, you know, I like, you know, the defensive players get paid to play too, right? So I don't necessarily think it was boring unless you just are a super casual fan that's only there, you know, to see the scoreboard get lit up. Outside of that, I don't necessarily call it boring.
Rob, do you think Super Bowl 50 was boring?
No, I didn't think it was boring at all, as a matter of fact. I think as a fan, you enjoy seeing greatness. And watching that Denver defense and Von Miller put on the show, I think it was a joy to watch personally. And I think as a fan, you enjoy seeing, you know, greatness. Now, to the casual fan, as JQ mentioned, to the casual fan, the game might have been kind of boring, I would think. But I think if you're a pure football fan or you're a sports fan, you enjoy seeing the ebb and flows of the game, and you enjoy seeing somebody perform to a high level. And as JQ mentioned as well, the Carolina defense, they just didn't force the turnovers, but they were stopping Denver's offense. And Denver, you know, Denver's defense just had the big plays in the game, forcing the turnovers, getting the sack fumbles, getting a good field position, getting points on the board by their defense. So I think whenever you're seeing an individual or a unit perform at a high level, I think it was a joy to watch.
Spoken like a true coach over there, Rob. I love it, man. I love it. Good job. You know, I'll actually say this, gentlemen, because I don't think the game was boring, but, you know, kind of to echo what JQ said, you were hoping for a better game because, you know, you just had high these expectations that Cam was going to do something kind of amazing, and he didn't. And I don't know if because it was nerve or he was just too amped up. You know, the first, you know, he had plays he could have made. He had, a couple wide open, you know, guys. He just overshot him. Maybe it was due to adrenaline or whatever. And I think that's what we're talking about, that you're hoping that it would be more of an even contest because, like, as I said earlier, we've seen some Super Bowls where, you know, one team is clearly blown out the other team and the best games have been the divisional games, you know. So that's a little disappointing from that vantage point. But, you know, like you said, defense does win championships. It was great defensive play by both teams. Like you said, just, you know, the Denver defense made a little bit more plays, and that's kind of what happened. So that's kind of obviously the determining factor. They forced Cam to make some bad plays, and though I do think Cam could have played better, but it just wasn't kind of how that played out. But anyway, that's my thoughts.
And his receivers.
And his
receivers dropped a lot of passes.
Yeah. But like you said, disjointed was a great word because it just wasn't a smooth. And like I said, the defense played great, guys. You know, so, you know, like you said, it was – They did their job. Just the offense didn't kind of pull their weight, and like I said, Denver made just enough more plays to kind of keep them in there. So, speaking of that, I guess the next question is talking about Super Bowl 51 because if you're looking at Vegas, gentlemen, they don't have Denver or Carolina making it to the Super Bowl. They have the Patriots, Seahawks, and the Steelers and Cardinals. Actually are the odds to win that. Right outside, they got Packers, then the Panthers. Your Bengals are kind of in there too, JQ. But tell me about this. I mean, do you think this is kind of – I mean, this is really early, man. I mean, gosh, we just had the Super Bowl. I mean, is this motivation for Cam? Was it kind of a one-trick season? Rob, what are your thoughts about that, sir?
Well, obviously you have scouting combine, you have free agency, you have draft. A lot is going to go on here in this off season, you know. So it's still very early. But if I would have had this, as of right now, say one team that I think could be the favorite for 51, I would go with the Carolina Panthers. So when you look at it here, they still should be very strong on defense. They still probably have one of the better front sevens in football. You have Josh Norman on the back end. They could probably get a little bit better at the safety position defensively. But when you look at it as well, Cam Newton's going to get another weapon and Kelvin Benjamin back next season. It's tough as me to say this, being a Saints fan and Carolina being in our division. But on paper, I would have to say that they're the favorite. Now, you know in the NFL, there's going to be a few teams every year that's going to come out of nowhere and is going to be competing. So, you know, so we know to expect that. There's going to be a couple of surprise teams in the mix come next season as well. But if I had to put one team down as a favorite, Cam Newton is getting another weapon to that offense. And if they can fix the left tackle and the right tackle spots on the offensive line, their interior lines are set. The center position and the guard position are just set, particularly that right tackle position, as you saw Von Miller had a field day this past weekend. That was a turnstile look there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, go ahead, JQ. Yeah, go ahead.
So after I say this, I'm going to open up my patio door and jump off the deck and set myself on fire on the way down. But I think you got to go. I think you got to go back with the usual suspects, and I think it's probably going to be New England and probably Pittsburgh. If you look at the fact that New England is going to shore up that offensive line, they got embarrassed, and you can believe that's going to be priority 1, 2, and 3 for them. They keep Gronk and Edelman healthy. They showed you can do. Tom Brady really didn't slow down. They're going to get some of the running backs back from injury. The defense was still playing at a pretty decent level. They just couldn't stop that Denver pass rush. Nobody could really. And then you look at Pittsburgh, and I hate to say this, but you get Le'Veon Bell back. You probably get Brown and that 3 wide receiver set back healthy. You get Pouncey back, which is huge for that offensive line. And they started to play better on defense down the stretch. I think they're going to both be tough outs in the AFC, and I think one of those two may win it. And, of course, I agree with Carolina. I don't know why you would put them so far out, especially getting Kelvin Benjamin back. And I think, Seattle, that defense as well, if they can get a running back that can, stay in there and give them that, not exactly what Marshawn Lynch gave them, because Marshawn Lynch is his own animal. But, Russell Wilson has shown you that he can actually put that offense on his back as well, because Doug Baldwin just went nuts in the second half of the season. So I think it's your usual suspects again. I wouldn't put the Cardinals in there because at this point I don't trust Carson Palmer. He had to prove it to me first.
Wow. Yeah, what's up with Marshawn? Is he really going to retire? Is that the true word of the street, is that he is actually retiring, or is that just something that we're just hearing or kind of fodder or what? He's done?
He's done.
Okay.
His agent came out and said he's
done. Wow. He's done. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
And that ends the
Make sure it's time to change his mind, but as of now, he's saying he's retiring.
And his agent said it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. It is. Done
deal.
The
Seahawks, as you mentioned, they get Thomas Rawls, who really shows some nice things at the running back position. They'll get him back. And even though Jimmy Graham didn't show anything spectacular with the Seahawks, they'll be getting him back as well.
Yep, that's it, man. Maybe add a couple more. I mean, that's what they need. Maybe they're running a couple pieces away, guys. But, that's any team here, so I'm curious about that. It's early, and we will see how that plays out for sure. All right, really quickly, we're going to talk about some stuff for the NBA. The Clippers suspending Blake Griffin 4 games for assaulting a Clippers employee. This makes no sense. This is kind of the flip thing. You're hurting the team. You want to talk about this, JQ, and then I'll kick it to you, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, and if you read about it, that's his homeboy. He said he's gone on vacation with that guy. Like, they're really cool, and they got to, doing what we do as guys, playing the dozens, and he got mad and punched him. And, I mean, I think he's really being glad to only get 4 games suspended. He knew he was going to get suspended. And I think that's them trying to be preemptive, and hopefully the NBA will take that 4 games and not make it more. I think it's really what comes down to it. But he was going to get suspended. You just can't be out fighting in the street with anybody, let alone somebody, a member of the organization.
I got to question his mental state. I don't know. Go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts about this really quickly?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add to that. It's one of those kind of things, as we mentioned with Cam Newton. This is just one of those maturity kind of factors that sometimes you just got to know when or what to do in these type of situations or what not to do in these type of situations. So I think it's one of those kind of things for Blake Griffin. He's got to really check himself, from a maturity standpoint. And, he's a key factor in that Clippers team, even though they look like they're playing better without him. I mean, he's an important piece of that team going forward if you're going to have any chance at competing in that Western Conference.
Yes.
So you didn't help yourself
definitely
at
a
all.
Huge blow.
Yeah, you didn't help yourself at all, man, because you want to make yourself invaluable to your team. Not like that. Their team, they're playing better. They were like, maybe we could trade him and get some of their pieces. So I don't know. That was a good move for me. I'm just questioning, that's dumb. Like, didn't Amari Stoudemire punch something, punch a fire hydrant or something crazy like that?
Yep.
That's what reminds me of that. Okay. Same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, man, just doing stupid stuff, man. Come on, man. All right.
Yeah.
Guy that he, punched is not a member of the actual basketball team, I think it's still going to affect the chemistry of the basketball team as well, having something like this happen as well. So I think going forward, that's going to be something to watch for the Clippers. And yeah, I think going forward here in the future, if they can get something decent in return, I wouldn't be surprised if they look to move them.
Agreed.
There it is. We got about 4 minutes, guys. Let's keep it on. Rob, go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs as we get ready to wrap up the show.
Fantasy shout-outs for this past week. The biggest winners of the week was I'm So Harden, Will from Madison, Wisconsin, with a win over Madhouse on Madison 7-1. My co-host, Andre, triple-double with a 7-1 win over the Druth. So the two biggest wins of the week in fantasy basketball. Yours truly is still holding down a first-place spot, even after a 4-4 tie this past week. So that's our fantasy shout-outs for the week. Thank you all for continuing to compete with us. Still got a lot of basketball to be played, about a couple more months before we get into the playoffs.
Sick and tired of y'all every single week getting some luck. I had to step up this week, man. I was like watching the clock. Like, I'm going to get something this week, bro. You know what I'm saying? I was going all in, bro. I was jabbing I was like, what? Yeah. Got a little excited there. Okay, I'm going to calm myself down. All right. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about some
Had to show you some love.
Appreciate that. Really quickly, Rob, I don't know enough about this Ole Miss football 13 to 28. What the French Toast has happened with that? I didn't really take a peek at that. Go ahead, I'll let you talk about that. Maybe Jake, you can talk about that as well.
Well, this is a big blow to the Ole Miss football program. They're getting 13 violations out of an Ole Miss athletic program. Ooh. Got hit with 28 violations, including women's basketball, a few other programs as well. But the football team has got hit with 13 violations. 9 of these violations happened under the current head coach, Hugh Freeze. And if you look at the past few years, this has been a football program that's been on a rise. You have an opportunity here to have the number one pick in the draft, and Laramie Tunsil, who was suspended 6 games for, driving a vehicle that was given to him as a gift this past season as well. And so, you wonder, like, how a program like Ole Miss all of a sudden was getting good. Like, who wants to go to Ole Miss? But they get these top recruiting classes all of a sudden. And so some of this is, here in Louisiana, we call them Ole Piss. But it's one of those kind of things that you scratch your head like, man, how are these guys getting top 5 recruiting classes at Ole Miss, and now some of this is starting to come out. But I'm not wishing, I hate to see this happen to any program. I know I'm joking a little bit, but you hate to see this happen to any program. So I'm not sure what the suspension of what's going to come out of this. That's yet to be seen. Probably in the next year or so, we'll be getting more information if they're going to be banned from bowls or whatever you going forward. I know Ole Miss has some time. They have 90 days to respond to these allegations.
They've been hanging out with Louisville too much. Hey, wrap it up. Guys, you got a minute. You got 10 seconds. JQ, do your thing. And Rob, you can wrap it up as well. Go ahead, JQ.
See, I ain't got nothing to say that. Oh, piss. That's a winner. Thank you, everybody. for listening to this show and downloading it. We'll be back next Tuesday to talk to you. Probably get into some more, NCAA with the tournament coming up here soon. Appreciate all the love and support. Have a good week. Be safe.
Rob.
Good night, people. Thanks again for tuning in to tonight's show. Once again, next Tuesday night, same time, same great channel, 11 p.m. Eastern time on next Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central. Don't miss it.
I agree, JQ. Old piss, man, you can't talk that. Man.
I got nothing for that.
Thank you, America, for tuning in and talking sports with Tough, man. Peace.
Good night, people.